Hey, welcome to the Eve edition of The Unpresentable Parts. Hosts Samantha Neptune and Jasmine Cherry kickstart the dialogue where silence ends. Every episode dives into the experiences that define us as women, celebrating our diversity, depth, and dynamism. With Samantha and Jasmine, your voice matters. Ready to be a part of the conversation? Let's get started.
Beautiful people. My name is Jasmine Cherry, and this is my lovely co-host,
Samantha Neptune Blake.
Yes, and together we are the Unpresentable Parts podcast, the Eve edition. And each episode, Sam and I, with a few guests sprinkled in here or there, we will dive into experience that defines us as women, Black women, mothers, daughters, sisters, friends, professionals, and Christians as God-fearing people. So we are here to make the unpresentable presentable in our lives, and we hope that this is a safe space for you and for us to encourage, to inspire, to uplift us in our journeys. So
yep,
you ready to get started? Yep.
Girl, I am as ready as I'm gonna be.
Yes. So our topics for today, we're going to do a bit of a life update, and we are going to discuss how can we stay connected to God throughout the various seasons, the different seasons of our lives. So, all right. Before we get into those topics, we want to ask our question about if there's an unpresentable part that you would like to talk about. So Sam, lead us through, girl. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, girl, listen, there are so many different things popping into my head right now, but one, I wish this was just audio, so there was not video today. I feel so off. As you can tell, I got a baseball cap on. That is not by choice. I just couldn't get the hair to do right. And at a certain point, I just feel like, you know what, who am I trying to be cute for? Whatever. It is what it is. Yeah. It's just how I feel. And so I think the unpresentable part of me today is wrestling with wanting to look presentable, feeling like I don't look presentable, and trying to be secure in my authenticity, not feeling authentic. Girl, that's it.
Yes.
That's it.
And, you know, some people who know you can maybe tell something can be off, or you, or they know your tells. A lot of people, they don't be knowing. And so they're not really thinking. But I get it, because you want to feel how you want to feel.
Yeah.
So I get it. Even as like you're talking, I'm thinking, okay, Jasmine, what do I do? Do I want to chop my hair off again? Do I want to let it grow? Like, I just hate thinking about my hair. But I feel like as Black women, right, it's our crown, right? I feel like there's so much pressure that we have put on ourselves. And we should take pride in every part of our body. But sometimes I'm like, man, this hair situation, like I can feel like I can walk out the house looking raggedy, but if my hair is not right, it just kills everything. And I don't know if you have a point. Some people feel like, oh, if I don't have some lashes, if I don't have something on, but I feel like for me, it is definitely my hair. If it's not standing up right, if I got the helmet hair and the top part is squished down or whatever, if the curls aren't popping.
Yeah, I think I mirror you in that one. So It's so sad. It's you're right. You can look completely put together, but if the hair is not, if it's not popping for me, it just brings all the insecurities. So I appreciate you relating to me on that. So that's unpresentable for me today.
I get it. Something probably that's fresh, that's unpresentable would be so yesterday in church, I have two, but I'm gonna do a different one. So yesterday, myself and two other men, they are helping me in my Kids Kingdom class. So it's 3 to 6. I'm sure y'all remember that age, right? It's a lot going on. So we have some kids that are a little bit more rowdier than others. And then we had the 7 to 10 class cancel because of whatever reasons, but I didn't know. And so we had kind of this influx of students, and it was just a lot. And so I was trying to like power through and just pray, like, okay, it's a lot going on. Then my daughter, who's in the class, she's overwhelmed. So it was about four kids not having a good day, right? So they're crying throughout all the time. There's a little girl in there who speaks primarily Spanish, which I don't, which I can hate because I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to communicate with you, little girl. She's trying to communicate with me. We're trying to do context clues, trying to have a point. I only know a little bit, but she just turned 3. So she is still learning, right? As she's speaking in Spanish and knows a little, only a, this much English. And then you have the other kids who are like, a lot, right? They are running, throwing, being dinosaurs. They are being like, but it can be a lot sometimes. And so it was just a lot. And so I tried to speak it out with my husband of just how that just gives me so much anxiety and how we are going to be the new coordinator. So there's tons of stuff that we are definitely want to change to make it more efficient, be a safe space for the teachers who are volunteering, right? Like they're offering up their time 4 months at a time to really help and be there for your child. So it was just a lot, and I remember ending up being in tears, not in that class, once everybody was gone, but yeah, I'm like, okay. So it was just a rough moment, and I was trying to get out of church with the quickness because you know your friends see you and you look like you're upset. I'm like, I just can't handle people asking me what's going on. You know, my nose is already starting to get red, which is hard for a black person to do. Okay, my nose is getting red. I'm like, eyes are getting so I was like, how do I get out of here? I just gotta catch my breath. There's a lot going on, and how can we make the systems better? You know, so we don't have all these other kids that we don't know coming in. They're confused. I don't know. It was just a lot. So, but yeah. And then I think my husband was trying to help me with just my people pleasing nature. Like maybe you could have. It was okay if you didn't have them come in. And I'm like, but they look so helpless. They didn't know what to do. You know, but just all of that. So, anywho, it was just a lot. I'm glad it's over. But now moving forward, we have a better plan to help. It was an overwhelming Sunday. And yeah. And then how to better equip the teachers because, you know, every child has different needs. And I do think we have some children that have specific needs that we have to help. The teachers and the parents can also help us as we learn how to help meet some of those needs for your child. So, like, it's learning everywhere. I'm trying to learn how to help the specific needs, how to learn some Spanish. I'm trying to
Girl, have great, you know what? My friends, I have a friend, Maria. She always tells me, Sam, have grace with yourself. And I'm learning how to have grace with myself. So I'm going to pass that on to you. Give yourself grace,
Thank you.
girl.
Thank you. Because I can
Yes,
just
ma'am.
want the things to go well, right? I'm like, I don't want to have any mishaps or sometimes when there's last minute changes, I definitely don't do well. If I could, depending on the circumstance, a lot of times making quick decisions are not my specialty. So yeah. So okay. Well, thank you though. I definitely need to have that grace on myself and like we made it through. The
Yes.
kids felt loved, which is the most important. So the next thing, let's do a little bit of a life update if there's anything that we kind of want to share, what's been going on with us, anything that we've learned that we thought was interesting. Yeah, all of it. Is there anything that's been going on in your life, Sam?
Yeah, it's so funny. This past weekend, we just did a marriage retreat for our group. It's actually four different groups together. And, you know, Jazz, it's so interesting when you asked me a question earlier as someone in the ministry who is planning, do we get to enjoy it? Do we get to be romantic and all of that? And I'm like, girl, no, because, you know, in this season, learning how to be, and we said this from the very beginning, fully us in our spaces, right? And I've spent so much time code switching and people pleasing and being what I think I'm supposed to be in a role that being there this weekend, in this current season of my life, hearing, you know, some people are going to tell you their displeasure with certain things or certain processes and, you know, different things like that. Now, it was an amazing weekend. It was amazing. It was beyond, it was exactly what we the other sister and I who were planning it together wanted. It really, God really blessed with weather and everything. But it was being able to, in the moment during that time, continue being the self that says, no, this is not okay, and you get to address it. No, this is not the time or the place, and you get to not engage. And I'm being vague in some of the things, but I think it's being able to, I was able to be Sam, step back, engage when needed, step back when needed, help out when needed. But not feel like I had to be a specific person or a specific type of person in order to be accepted in that space. In fact, it's so funny. There was one point one of my friends came up to me. She goes, girl, you step back like 5 years. She goes, I knew you had energy. You had, she goes, you were pented up. She goes, it was the, and I started laughing. I said, my squeaky voice. She goes, yes, you were high pitched, which I could tell you were incredibly full of anxiety. I was like, yes, I was. She said, I don't remember the word she said to myself, but essentially she was like, stop it. Stop it. Get back to you. Get back to the healthy you. And I so appreciated that, right? I so appreciated being seen. So anyway, that's kind of my update. It's you go back and forth. You go back and forth, but it's so nice to be seen by people who know you, who can say, girl, stop it. Stop it. You're going back 5 years with your anxiety and your people pleasing and you're trying to be something that you're not. Be you in this moment. It's good enough. So I just appreciated
That's so
that.
true. Oh my gosh, Sam, that definitely spoke to me because that is such my nature to just minimize myself and think of other people and what they need and put those needs first without having any type of boundaries. Like I can think of myself last many times and you do. I mean, some people might not grow tired of it, but I do feel like I do. I'm like, all right, I'm tired of this. And, you know, I heard somebody, I think it was yesterday, I was listening to a podcast and they were just saying, when you are just yourself, like it just feels so good, right? Because you, what's naturally, it's just who you are, what you can take, what you can't take, like just be you. So, shoot.
You know, let me add something to that, Jazz. It's so okay, this is silly, right? But maybe it's not silly. It's not silly. But last night, you know, yesterday I came home and I love my boys. I love spending time with my boys. I love when they ask me to do anything for them. Because you know, you only have your kids for certain seasons. My oldest is graduating high school. And he asked me to cornrow his hair for him last night because you know he's been growing it out so he can get it cornrowed. And so, girl, I did. And he told me how he wanted it. He wanted six of them. I was like, I think you need seven, not six. You know, we're talking through this, right? And girl, so he tells me where to park. He goes, because you park crooked. Now all my insecurities are coming out, right? So I do the, listen, I'm not kidding. We started at 7 o'clock. I'm not kidding. 7 o'clock. I do the first braid. He's like, it's too big. I take it apart. I do it again. He's like, oh, it's offsided. It's crooked the way you did it. I need to go look at it. Oh my gosh, this boy is like killing me. Girl, yes. So I redo it. Then, and I, you know, I am feeling all kinds of. Then he's like, oh, well, maybe she had it small. He's like, how much gel are you using? I was like, well, you know, so I'm explaining all these things to him. Then I, and every single braid I do, he wants me to stop. He wants to go to the bathroom, look at it. He's having me take pictures of the back and the front because he's like, I got to get lined up. So I need you to do it right. And I'm thinking, you probably need to get lined up before I do this, you know, so that it could be right. And so it is almost, I'm not kidding, it is almost 11 o'clock when we're done. For seven stinking braids, because I had to keep doing it over. Then when I finish, he comes back and says, you know, I'm gonna need you to redo this last one tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. And I'm just really, listen, I'm just grateful my son's asking me to do this. I'm feeling so like, oh, he wants me to do it. And so I am just trying to grin and bear it. But girl, my insecurity all coming up. I can't do it right. He's, you know, he doesn't like it, which is ridiculous, right? There's this woman from Australia. I don't remember what she said, you know, when your children, your boys are breaking, your boys are growing up from mothers. It's like a long breakup. And because you lose them every day. And in that moment, I was feeling that, like, I'm trying to impress him, like he my crush, you know, and it's just not good enough. And he's, you know, all of that. It's ridiculous, right? But this is what's happening. And then this morning, right before, you know, we tape, he calls me. He's like, so mom, I'm looking at it. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to work when I get my hair lined up. So I just, you know, I'm thinking, and I'm like, literally as he starts talking, Jazz, I'm like, go ahead, take it out. You know, it is what it is. Just take it out. You take him out. He's like, mom, I'm trying to tell you. He's like, I'm grateful that you did it, but it's just not exactly what I wanted. And I am so hurt. I am feeling so insecure right now. And he's like, and you know, the girl at my school who does it, like she's real professional. I heard she real professional. She gonna do it. I'm getting my hair cut. I felt like, oh, here I am. Not good enough. Not, you know. Oh. And so he's like, are you mad or are you hurt? And I was so grateful that he said that. Yes. I said, wow. I'm hurt. I said, I'm hurt. Cause I'm feeling like what I did wasn't good enough for you. And it makes me feel insecure. But I just thought, oh, I'm so grateful I'm raising a boy who knows to ask that question, because he was able to recognize. I know I went totally off what you were saying here, but that's what was real for me right now. So I just wanted to share that.
That's a good question. I need to ask that. That was good. No, that's funny, because even as you're talking, I'm thinking the ways that, again, my child is so much younger than yours, but like, of those times where maybe I don't understand what she's trying to say and she'll get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I just don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure out, sweetheart, because she's getting frustrated. And in those moments, I can feel a little similar. Like, I'm not enough, or I can't do this for you. You're trying to communicate, but you're getting so frustrated. Or she's talking about something she spoke about with her dad, and then she's trying to tell me, and I'm like, huh? Like, what? And so she, oh my gosh. So yeah. Anywho, yes, it's been very interesting. I feel like, I don't think there's been anything new, I feel like, that's going on for me. I feel like, I could have mentioned this for Unpresentable Parts. As I am out and I'm job hunting and doing my applications and updating my portfolio. And so I've applied a lot, so which means I'm getting a lot of denials. And so those things sometimes, I have worked so hard for the past probably few years of really trying to make sure my worth is not tied up in my job occupation. And that's what I have done. That's what I have assigned. That means the job that you do gives you value. And so having to unlearn that and to know that your job is your job. And if you are lucky enough, right, to find a job that you actually like, because everyone doesn't have that privilege, that freedom to do that. You have to pay your bills, right? So if you
Mm-hmm.
work a job, you have to make ends meet. You got to do what you got to do. But I'm in a situation now where I'm trying to look for something that I want to do. But as time is going by and either I'm not getting them or opportunities aren't coming up, sometimes that can make me feel really down. And my husband and I are trying to figure out how do we communicate those disappointments with each other. And he is definitely more of like, let's be positive, right? We're able to pay all of our bills, so we're okay. He's coming from a developing country. So coming from Haiti, he's like, hey, we have so much than what I've ever had. So like, we should be happy, right? There shouldn't be an issue. And I'm like, Andrew, you're right, we shouldn't, it shouldn't. But I'm like, I want something for me, right? You have something for you. And fortunately for him, he's able to have his job match his passion, which is great. And that's what I'm trying to do too. So I'm in this journey, and in the days that I can feel sad or moments that I can feel sad, it can be hard to communicate that with him. And so we're trying to learn in our marriage of how it's okay if I am feeling sad, I'm just sad. And it's, my goal is not to stay that way. But if I'm feeling like, man, this sucks, I feel like I'm putting my best foot out there, and it can seem like nobody wants me, or that I'm not good enough, or maybe I'm not good enough. And so it kind of can have me everywhere sometimes. So yeah, so that's, I guess, an update of what's going on in that realm. And just to know, like, hey, I am enough. Like, I desperately do want to have something that is for me. But amen, we're in a position where our bills aren't in jeopardy. We're able to still give and to help other people. We're still able to do that off of one income. So I have to find, like, that is a blessing in it, that it's not like, girl, you better go get this job at Mickey D's because our light's about to get cut off. So I'm like, all right.
That's a good perspective. It's a healthy
Yeah.
perspective.
Amen. So let's get started with our topic. We are going to discuss how do we stay connected to God throughout the different seasons that life brings, and how I'm sure, depending on when you started your relationship with God, it can look different from years later, right? Of how you connect with God. So, and this is really meaningful to me because I was kind of brought up a bit with the religious part of it. You make sure you read your Bible every day because if you miss a day, then you could be going to hell that day. Like, it was very like, or it was just very much, I didn't have that aspect of what a relationship looked like. It was the works that you did. And if you miss one of the works that you're supposed to do, right, there's this consequence. And I feel like I kind of walked around, right? It's great to have a healthy fear of God. I think I had an unhealthy fear of God, where it didn't seem like we had a daughter-father relationship. It didn't seem like it was very much, I have to make sure I do this. So it became like a checklist. And one of the seasons that was difficult for me, I was very much afraid of once I have a child, like, how does that change? I was kind of afraid. I was like, oh my gosh, how can I stay connected to God? How do these women do it? They have all these children and they have all these needs. And so that's why this topic just means a lot to me. And how I started out is definitely not where I'm at. I think I have grown and changed on and transformed my mindset about what does that look like in the different seasons. So I'll have some questions, Sam. What circumstances make it difficult to be maybe consistent or to be able to connect to God for you?
That's a good question. I think that the circumstances for me, as you know, I work in the full-time ministry, paid ministry. And so, funny thing is, my job requires me to be in constant connect with God and constant communique with God. Here's the
Yeah.
thing. My ministry job is also the biggest stumbling block for me in my relationship with God. And I hate saying that, but many times it is. Sometimes I feel like the ministry gets in the way of my relationship with God because it becomes my God. And so when you ask that question, I feel like it's a constant battle for me. And it's a daily, what's going to be there first? Am I going to read my Bible because I need to talk to someone about something? I'm reading my Bible for someone. I'm reading my Bible for a lesson. I'm reading my Bible for a Bible study versus, no, I just want to connect with God. I just want to be with him. And so it's a stumbling block. Sometimes I don't want to read my Bible because I can't hear God for me. And I don't always hear God for me. And it's such a filter sometimes. So sometimes I will read, I will pray, just pray, just talk. And I feel like I do that throughout the day, that I'm praying and talking with God throughout the day. So it's just constant conversation, but sometimes it's just music.
Yeah,
it really is a song or something that connect. So I'm not going to be the person who sits there and go, yeah, amazing quiet time. No, that's not actually always true for me. Sometimes it is a song that really draws me back to God. And I really connect with that and talk with him about it throughout the day. But it's a my job is a stumbling block for me many times. In my relationship with God.
Wow. So I really appreciate that you say that, because I think sometimes people, the narrative is changing a little bit as people are becoming more honest, especially about people in paid ministry. But I felt like what I was kind of, maybe it probably wasn't on purpose, but sometimes it's like, it's such a noble job, a noble task, a noble mission, right? That you, this is your job, but obviously outside of it, it's your job too, right? This is our mission, right? To serve and to love and to seek those who are lost, all the things, right? But how glamorous I feel like it can be made out to be. Like, you know, you just wake up anytime and then you read your Bible, then you go here, and like it's just kind of like seamless in that, just this, like there is maybe no difficulty to that, because you do spend so much of your time to serve and to help others. And obviously you need to be filled so you can give that out. But like life isn't just perfect. Like in a perfect scenario, that should always happen, right? But life isn't. And so I just really appreciate you getting vulnerable and being real about that, but that can be a struggle too. It's not just rainbows, butterflies, and that, you know, like that is so real. And I appreciate that. And I don't think people really probably understand that, you know, of they're the people who are serving us, but like they have their relationship with God. They have that going on. So I feel like for me, some circumstances that have made it difficult, because I used to be so like regimented, if I'm saying that word right. This time you read your Bible, at this time you pray, at this time you do this, at this time. Like it was just very much, I don't know, it kind of seemed robotic. Like, I don't know, where is that? Where is within your religion, right? Right? But your spirituality and your relationship with God. So I definitely think having children was hard because of the need, especially when they're really little, right? Their need and you could put sometimes immediate needs that you could see ahead of your own versus sometimes that immediate need for yourself. So having to learn, okay, if I'm like having my daughter attached to me on strapping and I'm doing some dishes, maybe I'll say a prayer here. Or I have to just figure out how to do it. It's not always, you know, you're feeding a child every few hours. I'm not going to have no hour quiet time, just quietness and reading and pondering. Like, you know, like that sounds amazing. Maybe if you don't sleep, you can do that. But I'm like, so I was very much afraid of like, oh Lord, how is this going to go? And obviously as they get older and self-sufficient, right? You can, do what you got to do. But that was a circumstance. And yeah, being busy, I do feel like I'm not in paid ministry, but a lot of things that I have done to volunteer and to give time, I would put those things ahead of my relationship with God too. I mean, it's included, but it's, I get what you're saying about you want to study the Bible for this thing, for to do a communion message, for to do whatever it is you're trying to do versus let me just do this for me. There's nothing attached to it. And yeah. I need God and how to see myself and not like, oh, this could be very useful for this person. Like, it could, but just focus on yourself, girl.
Yeah. Jasmine, if I can interrupt for a second, I think one of the things you said, and I think it's good to maybe expand on it a bit or even touch on it, it's that what you said about that that specific time, that hour, that, you know, do it this way. I think having been in the ministry for, since I was in campus, and since a college student, and then, you know, coming out for a little while, working in the school system as an educator, coming and then coming back into the ministry, I do have to say that as someone who started the ministry in college, there is some responsibility. You know, I get to own that too. Hearing you say that, acknowledging that with people who feel that, specifically in our congregation of churches, in our family of churches, our tribe, is that we in the ministry did and have put pressures on people and really trained people to feel like you got to get up at this time to do your quiet time. And a quiet time has to be this specific way. And there, there has been these, there are a group of people, an age group, a season, they were in a season when we were a bit more regimented. And unfortunately that was unhealthy. The heart of it and the practice of it was healthy and good. And I think for many of us, it trained us. So I don't want to, we're not going to do this whole throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It was not all bad. But it trained something within us, because I think God will take those things and work with our hearts and help us. But being able to go, okay, we've got to learn to have grace with ourselves and say, okay, a quiet time doesn't look the same for everybody. My husband always says commitment doesn't look the same for everyone, but the level of commitment, the expectation of commitment is the same. It just looks different stage of life, right? Like a new mom is not going to be able to, she's sleep deprived. And so for her to feel like I've got to have a quiet time at this time and pray for this long and read for this long and, you know, write, or it just, it doesn't work for a brand new mom. It may not work for a senior. It may not work for, you know, someone in grad school. It's different. And I think being able to own that and go, okay, I am so sorry for wherever I put that, you know, unyielding, and that's not a godly expectation, you know. it's where we have to address where we were our own Pharisees, where we put extra things on people, not because we were trying to hurt them, but because we wanted them to do well. So we put these extra gates around them to say, you should do this because. So anyway, I just wanted to address that because I think there are some people who may be listening to us from our tribe or maybe from another group of churches that have felt that undue pressure, that that's not God's pressure. That's, you know, that's pressure we in ministry have put on people. And so I just thought it was important to acknowledge that.
No, I appreciate that. And that's true. I feel like I have done the same, is that this is what it's supposed to look like because somebody told me it's supposed to look like this, you know, and I definitely understand the good intentions behind it and that training to because you do, as you're trying to practice something, right? We're practicing the discipline of being in our Bibles. So I feel like I definitely take that with me. And then you see the parts that weren't so good that kind of was, that were kind of produced because of that. You get this anxiety if you're not able to make it for this long or to do it this way. And it's like, oh no, oh, I'm not as spiritual. So how do you feel like you're, as we're talking about through time now, right? And how when we were at 18, 19, 20, right, during college, how your relationship looks. Can you tell me maybe some of your transformation, maybe things you had to learn about your relationship with God, how did it look then, and then to who the woman you are now, kind of what did you have to learn about what does it take for a relationship with God versus just maybe some of the unhealthy things you might have learned?
Yeah, I think that's a loaded question. I think some of it is maturity, just maturity as a human being, maturing through different stages in life, going through challenges. I think as a college student, I did, though I had challenges growing up, I didn't, I had abuse in my past. I had those different things. So it's not that I was this green complete, but I lived on the edge of idealism. I've always been someone who wants, it's a glass half full for me. So I think as I've gotten, I think in my relationships with other people and experiencing their relationship with God, experiencing other people's hurts and in a lot of ways carrying it with them and for them. I think having a miscarriage, getting married, having a miscarriage, having a hard time having a child, having a miscarriage, having a child and having a miscarriage, having another child, having health issues, have all those things have matured me, working in the school system, working, in this, being a secular world where most of my day is not around Christians, where in the ministry, I was surrounded just around people who did the same thing I did. It was hard to get a healthy perspective of what it was like in the secular world continually, like most of our people in our congregation go through. So you're teaching from this idealistic place that's not always realistic to most. So I think it's true. And so God giving me those opportunities to mature. And then I think honestly, just learning to become me and getting the language and understanding my own shortcomings. So I don't know if that's answering what you're asking, but am I
I mean, and
answering
it is a
that?
loaded question. No, you are. It is a loaded question. I do feel like for example, for me, I do think it's through maturity as you grow and you learn some things and like you are still committed to God, but what it might look like, you could be listening to a podcast. You're right, I love the singing. I love your meditation and all the different other ways versus the only way was like you just read your Bible and that's it. But there's so many ways to connect with God that I just wasn't privy to. I just did not know. And so I thought, that this is the only way. And through
Oh,
getting other
okay.
experiences and like through talking to other people of just and it's right, it's your faith and your deed. It's all of it is in your relationship with God.
One
So
of the things
hopefully, I don't
that,
know.
yeah, no, that's good. I think when you expanded on that, it gave me a bit more insight into the direction you would like me to go with that question. And one of the things that I got into was prayer doodling. I don't think I ever realized that I've got a bit, not a bit, after going through some ADHD assessments for my own children, I realized, oh Lord, oh my goodness, I classify in these areas. Like I understand now why I do the things I do. I do have AD, I have ADD. I do. I was just a good student and I pushed myself in certain ways that I adapted based on especially the culture I came from. And I'm realizing prayer doodling has worked tremendously for me because sometimes when I'm reading or I'm listening to something, I get into the stare off. I just go somewhere else. I daydream. And this is what I did in school, recognizing that, okay, this is, I used to get really offended, like biblical, like when I was studying my Bible, I'd get so mad at myself, like, why can't I just focus? Why can't? And I realized, especially with my getting my kids assessed and all that, and even doing this in the school system, I saw it, but I didn't see it for me. you know, when I assess kids, but assessing my kids, I see it for me. So prayer doodling, I am literally drawing out my prayers. I am reading a psalm and I'm drawing it as I'm reading it. I am circling things. I'm coloring them. I am doing all of that. So prayer doodling has been really good for me. Breath prayer has been great for me with my anxiety. So I get a scripture. I think I shared that before where I breathe in, reading a part in my head and breathe out through my mouth, reciting it in my head, scriptures. So that's been good for me. Music in general. Mm. And I found that I was going back to even some songs from my early years in the Caribbean that really spoke to me and drew my heart back to God. So if there's a place for me to share maybe a couple words from those songs later, I wouldn't mind.
Nice. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Sometimes I think about even other gospel songs, things like that, that I learned when I was little and bring those back up and just like, all of it. Now, has there ever been like, I don't know, maybe a life situation, since we're talking about our relationship with God, or if there was a moment or a season that you kind of felt like you wanted to give up, maybe your relationship with God, like life, whatever's happening is too much for God, you know, too much for me to kind of keep persevering.
The last 2 years.
Like that, okay.
Girl,
okay.
Fam. The last 2.5 years, I have, you know, my husband always says, if you don't want to quit the ministry at least once a year, you're not doing it right. But this was not me wanting to quit the ministry once a year. This was me wanting to quit the ministry every day. I have never, when you say season where you just, you're like done, I just felt like, God, what is this? Mm-hmm. It was the pandemic. It was the racial pandemic, the health pandemic, what it did with relationships. It was just relationships. I thought, well, you thought someone was for you and someone was in this with you, and then they're not. And the betrayals and the misrepresentations. Mm-hmm. I felt like this season has been one where I just thought, do you even know me? Did I ever know you? Like, I have never, listen, let me just keep it 100 with you. I have never wanted to cuss. I have never wanted to cuss as much as I wanted to cuss. If I have cussed so much in my heart and in my head, I've been like, God, I know you hear it. I know, you know, it's there. Mm-hmm. And I have never been tempted to want it to come out my mouth as much as I have. And I was like, am I even a Christian? I'm sitting here, gotta give and give and give. And I feel like I have nothing to give. And I think for me it was, but I have nowhere to go. And I think of Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? If I go to the depth, you are there. I just didn't, there's no escape for me. For me, God is it. The world, wherever, there's nowhere to get away from him. So though I've wanted to quit and I've wanted to just give up and I've wanted to just, you know, shout at the heavens, like, what the heck? And heck is not the word I want to say. I mean, we got to keep it real as Christians, because we think, oh, if I say that, I'm not a good Christian. No, say it, because I feel like this is what happens to us, is this is, if we're not confessing, like the Bible tells us to confess and being honest, this is where we get emotional blackmail and shame from the devil. And I'm like, nope, Satan, you're not going to emotionally blackmail me. You're not going to shame me. Yeah, I wanted to cuss. Yeah, I wanted to tell this person off. Yeah, but what am I going to do? Am I going to put me and God in jeopardy? Am I going to let someone take my relationship from God from me? And heck no. I've been through too much for me to throw this away. Yeah. So God, where can I go from your presence? I can't. So I'm mad at you too. I'm mad that you let me go through this. But
Yeah.
I'm so grateful you're in it with me and you love me enough to let me be mad at you. You know, so
Yeah.
anyway, I'm on a rant here, but that is literally just when you say the hard season, I feel like I'm still in it a little bit, you know, but I'm in it with God and I'm not going anywhere.
Amen. Sorry, camera's being all funky. I
It's
wanted to make
okay.
sure before I shared that I just thought about we're talking about the different seasons of people have busy lives, people who are in residencies, right? They're in school, they want to become a doctor, certain professions that really take your time, right? And I have lots of friends who are physicians, who are doctors, you know, like and how when you mentioned before, sometimes that whole regimented, this is what it looks like. And I asked them, like, when life was getting really busy for me and having Avery and my husband having very much a demanding job that took him away. So I did a lot of things and I was very just, I felt like I just couldn't give any more. It was really difficult for me. And I would even ask them, like, what do you guys do? Because you guys are on different rotations. You guys, your sleep is all over the place. Like, so I just kind of wanted to make sure I acknowledge that everybody, because of their job situation, whatever they're studying, right? The standard doesn't stop. So I appreciate what you were saying about what Tim said. You know, but it's going to look different on how you communicate with God. How does your spirituality, how does your faith look like? So I just felt like I wanted to share that. In the past, I would used to, yeah, it would be, this is just this one way of how you connect with God. But through maturity, right? Through you understand, and even for myself, which will bleed into what I will share, I do feel like that first year, for the first 2 years of my daughter's life were very, very big for me. And a lot was going on in our household. And I kind of felt like, I don't know if I want to be married anymore. Like, I really don't know if I can do this. And just even trying to envision how would this look like if we separated? I don't know. How would this look like? Then how would that look? How would that affect my relationship with God then, right? Like, what in the world is it? How will this look like? I even thought about times where, like, if I did choose to walk away, because things were just so hard and I felt like, I don't know, like nothing was working. Maybe I wasn't as connected as I should have been, maybe. But it was just so hard. And there'll be times where, I don't know, I was just going through it in my marriage, times where we just wouldn't even really talk to each other. Times where I'm like, wow, I can't believe after all this, this is where we're gonna end up. This is how our story's gonna play out. Wow. You know, and like, then you think about raising your child by yourself. I'm like, oh, snap. Like, all these thoughts, and I just feeling just dark. I was just very like, man, forget this. It's just too much. I remember coming out of some of the volunteering that I was doing for church. I was like, because I'm pouring out in these areas while at home isn't being nourished, me not being nourished. So having to develop those boundaries and say, hey, I need to do this first before I can try to go out and try to fake it, like. I know that wasn't right. So I just remember in that time. So I don't know, that was maybe 2021, 21, maybe 2020. Yeah, I guess it was during that pandemic time and then having a newborn child. So it was just so much and just feeling alone and just yeah, I was just very, very unhappy. So thank God started to get into therapy and you know, all those things really did help me through that time. And then having other friends who they were starting to get separation too in their marriages, and you just hear so many of our friends who have left our group of churches too. So it was just this, like, it was just so much going on. I'm like, shoot, do I go too? Am I part of this exodus? Because I'm very much about to. And I just didn't know how to connect with God. What do I do? How do I even pray? And then I started questioning, like, do I really believe? Like, do I really believe? Am I just in a low point? And like, do I believe that when I'm praying, God is hearing me? Or that, like, do I even have enough faith? You know, it's this faith as small as a mustard seed. I'm like, ooh, I don't even know if I have a mustard seed. Like, so it just, I was just such in an area of questioning. So it was then. So I feel like we are recovering out of that, but it's still very much closer to us and further.
Yeah.
Further.
No, that's good. I appreciate that vulnerability because I think those are the things that, those are the kinds of conversations I think some Christians, and sometimes, and again, I can only speak for our tribe of churches, can feel like if I share this, I'm going to be judged. And someone's going to think, oh, I'm leaving God, or that, you know, or what's the word? I'm falling away, or I can't serve in this capacity because I'm not close enough to God. I'm not spiritual enough. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why I hope this, our conversation is able to help other people spark, hey man, I've been feeling this. I've been feeling like, do I even believe this? Mm-hmm. Am I doing this out of muscle memory? Is this muscle memory for me? Is this kind of like, it's a good thing to do and I'm doing it, but I don't really feel it. So I think talking it through again sheds light on it and gives opportunity to go, okay, well, it's okay to doubt as long as you don't quit. It's okay if you feel like, look, I haven't read my Bible in 4 days and I'm tripping, to be able to say it so someone can go, hey, you want me to read with you? You want me to send you a verse? I will send you a verse. If it's hard for you to even touch that Bible, I'm going to send you a verse and we can pray for 3 minutes a day until you get back up to a place where you're like, okay, that's okay. Just don't quit. And sometimes some people need to hear that.
Yeah, you're right. I definitely needed to hear that too. And so I love that. Just don't quit. Keep going, even if it's like I'm taking 1 inch in front of you. Just keep going. So lastly, before we kind of get out of here, I did want to say, has there been any scriptures or any other words of encouragement that have maybe helped you to just stay connected to God, right? Through all the stuff that has happened. Yeah, is there something you hold on to, you know, to keep you, you know, staying in the good fight?
Yeah, and I think you mentioned it earlier when we talked about it, it's going back to those core, because I was brought up in a church, the core things. I wasn't brought up in our tribe of churches. I was brought up, you know, I think I said it earlier, Catholic and a Pentecostal. But one of the things about growing up in most of my life in the Pentecostal church, it was Pentecostal and Baptist, there's a lot of grace. And so I think I have gone back to learning how to take the good parts of that for me, the feelings, though, you know, don't all be about feelings, but like really believing that God loves me no matter how awful I can be. And so that, going back to that, has been very helpful for me. And the scripture that, you know, really comes back, and they were from my childhood again, it was those feel good scriptures, but also the one that brings us back to God is Psalms 121. It's one of my favorites. I will lift my eyes up to the hills from, and I know King James, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, you know? Mm. And I just, it's going back to that Psalm 121, that God has got me. And even when I was doing all my dirt, that is what I read and prayed and recited. Even when I wasn't serving God, just from my background in the church, it was Psalm 61, which was, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. Because when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You know, like that, those two psalms are from my childhood, and they are core in me that I go back to them. It's the Lamentations 3:22 when it, you know, we have a song about it. I always have to look that up when I talk about that scripture, but it's really about how God, you know, that, for my brain went blank. I can't remember the last part of that. If I remember before we over, I'll say it, but Lamentations 3:22 is a great one. Okay. And then Isaiah 43:20. Yeah. Thank you. Isaiah 43:2.
Fast love of the Lord never ceases.
Yes. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Yes. And so it's like you have a new day every day. And then Isaiah 43, 2, which is when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. So those are core ones for me that help me and are consistent for me. And I know I did talk to you about like the couple songs. I do want to share. I'm a quote girl, so I'm going to share with you a couple quotes that help me too. But this song, it was, it's, you know, I think I told you in St. Lucia, I grew up in country. And so these are country songs, but they bring me back. It's Why Me, Lord? And I just heard a CC Winans version of it. I'd never heard it before, but it says, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know I needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands." And it's just this really beautiful song written by Kris Kristofferson. And it's just a song I've learned since my childhood. And I remember it all the time. And then I know the Patsy Cline version of this song. It's "One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus." Okay. I don't know, have you ever heard it?
No. I'm writing these down because I want to look these up.
I'm not going to sing it because I have, but it says one of the verses in this song says, "I'm only human. I'm just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Oh, show me the stairway that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time." So those two songs are constant playlists in my head. You know, a newer one that I love is by Anthony Brown, and it's called "Trust in You." And the words say, you did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. My hands are raised because I surrender. Your will is what's best for me. So I would say those scriptures and those three songs are on repeat in my head. And because I love quotes, you know, when I am, this quote comes to me for God. So it reminds me, I don't know if you ever saw The Green Mile.
I have.
Have you seen that
movie?
It's
been a minute, but
Okay. So John Coffey says these words and it speaks to my soul when I'm feeling stuff. Okay. And I'm like, this quote gives me words for God. It says, "I'm tired, boss. Tired of being on the road, lonely as a sparrow in the rain. Tired of not ever having me a buddy to be with or tell me where's going or going to or why. Mostly, I'm tired of people being ugly to each other. I'm tired of all the pain I feel and hear in the world every day. There's too much of it. It's like pieces of glass in my head all the time. Can you understand?" And I know this sounds, you say, yeah, I know we think, oh, read a Bible verse, read. Sometimes it's these quotes that give me words to pray.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's some of it for me.
Yeah, that was great, Sam. I do think sometimes as Christian folk, we can get really weary of taking outside sources to inspire us. But it's like God is in so many things, right? Like God is not just in a church building. You're going to see God, and it doesn't mean that God isn't working on other people's lives. You know, the people that helped create the movie, The Green Mile, you don't know, you know, and God is working through everything. So I've definitely learned to appreciate that and to be okay with, hey, they might not necessarily come from the scriptures, but these things are motivating me to want to continue as well, or just, it's all of it, you know? And you can see God in a lot of things, right? Because God is in a lot of things. So I appreciate that. It's one of my friends' actually favorite scriptures, but it's John 15 that talks about the vine and the branches and just staying connected. This is something I feel like this year, she told me that this year, and I've just kind of been marinating on that. Like, how do I stay connected? And here, and to know that, like, if I don't, You will see how you do start to slowly but surely. It doesn't happen overnight, right? But you can drift away. But how do I keep fighting to be connected? And God wants to be connected to me. Like, those things do help me. And I can relate to what you say about, man, where can I go, right? Like, the who God has me around, where can I try to escape, if you will? I would have to try really hard, really hard, and be determined to escape for people not to check in on me and to not to, people do that already. There was one function I couldn't go to, and everybody was hitting me up, Jack, what's going on? You okay? You sick, girl? You need anything? And I wasn't feeling well, but they were there. They're like on it. I'm like, thank you. You care about me. You're checking in on me. I don't feel well. I'm there in spirit. I think also being having a husband, right, who believes the same thing. I think having inspiration come from him is so helpful. And I do think being able like to just to serve, right? You're connected. So there's aspects of you that are connected that kind of help keep fanning the flame. It's like, okay, I'm doing this for a reason, knowing that now we're going to be the new Kingdom Kids coordinator. Like, that breathes into like, wow, you have some more purpose, more responsibility, more like you are trying to help these children. I feel like all those things can kind of just help give you purpose. And I do feel like when you do start to lose purpose, you can drift too. But yeah, things like this, even being a part of this podcast and learning too from you and just seeing you persevere and like all those things, I feel like help like keep going, Jazz. You got this. Even you don't have to be perfect. I do feel like my relationship with God has totally changed from that being perfect to just be who you are and keep going. So yeah, I think all of those things just help give me grace. I do appreciate you say that. Is how to have grace on yourself. So those things kind of just keep me going. Okay, all right, I got this with God, staying connected, because I will, okay? I will try to will myself to do something, and I just know it does not work. I feel like I've done it.
It doesn't. That's where burnout comes in.
Yeah, right. We talked about last time. Yeah, I'm like, it does not work, Jasmine. So just do it the right way. Be you. So I appreciate you say that about the music and all those. I really do want some of more of that influence in my life, and to just, I don't know how I got out of it, which is interesting, right? All through the Bible, you hear about people singing and the psalm, like all these things. I'm like, for some reason, that's one aspect of just my relationship I want to tap back into. So I appreciate this, and I'll hit you up too, because I didn't write down all the names of these psalms. So thank you, Sam. Oh, yes. So we will go ahead and close out. We're a little over an hour, but we thank you for listening. Please visit us at www.unpresentablepartspod.com. Please give us comments, suggestions. We appreciate you listening. Hopefully you learned something or were encouraged, or just know that you're able to relate with somebody else out in the world with these. So thank you, Sam. Any last words before we go?
Yeah, just give yourself grace, people. Give yourself grace and find a place to talk. Talk to someone. It's important.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank you all. God bless. Have a good one.
Have a
Bye.
good one, you guys. Till next time.
Mm-hmm.